Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Rashid Salam, and welcome to Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Our show tonight is designed for our listening audience to be a part of an interactive conversation on effective parenting. This series is an episode that focuses on developing leadership skills in children. Listeners are invited to bring questions as well as share their parenting experience. Remember, in a learning lab, we are here to learn. I'd like to bring to you your host for today, Mark Shaheed. Sister Patricia, you want to take his open up to him? He's not on the line right now.
Oh, sure.
Oh,
here he is. Okay.
Here he is. I'm sorry, he just came on.
I just
introduced you, my good brother.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum to you, Rashid. Assalamu to you, Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean, and to the AM360 family. As always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Ashhadu ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. وشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم مبارك. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble messenger. And what follows in the excellent salutation of the Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him. I am Mark Shaheed. I am the host and facilitator, producer, along with Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean, of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab that's heard each and every Wednesday night here on IWDM Radio. And for those of you who may be listening in for the first time, and know that this learning lab is approaching the five-year mark, and we'll be celebrating our fifth anniversary starting all the way back the end of January 2017 on our sister station, AM 360 Radio. Want to just give some staples in regards to this learning lab for those you may be listening for the first time. And following the lead and direction of our beloved leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad, when he said, in definition is direction. And we've given a very simplistic but a very profound definition in terms of what is parenting. We simply say that parenting is the process of nurturing and cultivating not only the physical but the moral, the emotional, the rational, the intellectual, the social, and the spiritual development of our children from infanthood to adulthood. This is a big role and responsibility. Not only do our mothers have in terms of nurturing and cultivating these vital components that comprise the human being, but also the father plays a major role in that too. And we also have stated that the role and responsibility is to raise our children up to become leaders and to exemplify leadership qualities, first and foremost for themselves, their families, their communities, and we say inshallah, which simply means, simply translated, God willing, having that mindset and that disposition, but also being conscious and regardful of the role and responsibility Almighty God has given to us as parents, that some world leaders will emerge from that way of thinking. And outside of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being the Most High, who is the teacher for all of humankind, first and foremost, he has given the honor and distinction to our women as mothers to be the first teacher, and not only the first teacher, but the first leader for our baby girls and also for our baby boys. And we also have established that, as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, that paradise lies at the foot of the mother, And there's many, many interpretations of that. But she would be the one that would be responsible in terms of giving that foundational knowledge to our baby girls and our baby boys. So with that being said, as always, we always like to do an overview from the previous episode in terms of the last production of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, as we had Najwa Abdul-Tawab and her finale here on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And we're happy to have back our very distinguished co-host and facilitator of the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, Dr. Patricia Salahuddin. Once again, assalamu alaikum to you, Dr. Salahuddin.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Mark. How are you this evening?
Well, I'm pretty good running a little behind time here, but I guess we're right on time, and I'm always fired up on Wednesday because this is such a critical, as you well know, a very critical learning lab. If we ever want to kind of right the wrongs in society, we have to go back to the first social unit that has been established in society. That is the family life, the role and responsibility that we have as parents in terms of what it is that we should be doing in nurturing and cultivating the vital components that comprise the human being. So I'm fired up, and I'm ready to go. So back to you.
All right. Thank you. Before I begin, I want to tell our audience that the last show was such a dynamic show. I could not capture all of the things that was said and all of the wonderful jewels that were given out. So please go back and listen to that show if you missed it. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab Overview, episode number 22, December 1st, 2021. The Resource, 21 Indispensable Qualities of a Leader by John C. Maxwell. We discuss leadership quality, number 4, communication. Maxwell states, developing excellent communication skills is absolutely essential to effective leadership. He goes on to say, educators take something simple and make it complicated. Communicators take something complicated and make it simple. Expanding on Maxwell's idea of simplifying the message, Sister Najwa stated that effective communication requires delivering a message clearly. She used the example of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, who clearly communicated Allah's message as revealed in the Holy Quran. She expressed the need for us to think in terms of sense systems and to make connections, because in everything there is a system. She goes on to say that the Quran is the manual we need to communicate and an understanding of the systems that Allah has created. Parents and educators must use the Quran as a guide to help navigate through everything. She emphasized that since communication requires delivering a clear message, as parents and educators, we ask ourselves, how effective are we as communicators? Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, delivered a very clear message from Allah, and Imam W.D. Muhammad, may God be pleased with him, continued to share that message with us. And that message is to worship Allah alone. There is evidence that this message is resonating in the resurgence of systems that the believers are generating throughout the community. Relating effective communication to raising children. Based on Maxwell's effective communication truths, we outline how effective communication can be applied to child rearing. And I have a list of items here. Make the communication simple. Make sure saying and doing are congruent. Know and respond to what is in the child's natural self. Build a foundation of Quran and creation with the child. Know what is needed at each stage of the child's development, 0 to 7, 7 to 14, 14 to 30. Know the child intuitively. Encourage humility and discourage arrogance. Model the behavior that you want to see in your child based on the life of the Quran, the life of the Prophet, and based on the life that Imam W.D. Muhammad initiated for us. Take time to play with your child. invest quality time in your child. In answering the question from a listener, the question was, what role does language play in parenting? So the natural response was, language is more than verbal. It is speech, written, and observation, and it is the effects of what's permissible or acceptable. According to research, a child that's going to do well, by the age of 5 years, that child has a vocabulary of 5,000 words. Therefore, as it relates to parent-child relationship, it is important to speak to children, and more important, to speak to the child's intellect, which is connected to their heart and soul. Speak to expand the child's vocabulary. We should be mindful of how we are teaching the physical reading of the English language or the Arabic, because it is all connected. Addressing the broader community, she expressed the need for a community of various disciplines and institutions to come together, communicate with each other, to become aware of their relatedness. Communicate with each other to make knowledge whole. We are holistic. Allah made us whole. Allah tells us to get to know one another in Surah 49, Ayat 13, and make society work better. Communication is turn knowledge into action. Once communication is in full force, community life will grow. In conclusion, we noted the following for communication and raising children. Know your child. Be aware of the child's natural inclinations. Invest in time in your child's growth and development. Make them feel good about themselves. Tell the child to believe in itself and his creation, and help them to know that the Quran is the foundation for all sources of knowledge. Instill in your child to always remember to believe in one God and to serve the one God alone. Until that is accomplished, keep God's name first and frequent in your communication with your child. It will grow on the child, God willing. Emphasize constantly to your child that whatever they do, it is for the servitude of Allah. That is the purity of intention. Sister Najwa also expressed the need to make connection between the relationship of our wonderful religion of Al-Islam and the relation that any human being has with his creator, regardless of the name used to identify that religion. She advised us not to get caught up in semantics and words. The relationship with our children never stops. Show the evidence that we are working to help raise and continue to raise our children to seek the pleasure of Allah. Are we leaving something from someone to pick up that's tangible and concrete? Let it be truth and let it be credible. Let's talk and listen to one another and find a way to speak with kindness and compassion in the way of God, as was demonstrated by Prophet Muhammad. Peace and blessings be upon him. Back to you, Mark.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Mm-hmm. I want to say alhamdulillah that the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. That was a very substantive overview. And as you heard, this was the finale of our beloved sister, Najwa Abdul-Tawab, last Wednesday. And I took a lot of great notes, and I see that you did too. And I also echo what Dr. Patricia Slawadeen is saying, go back into the archives and so that you can be able to assess it in its entirety. A lot of very valuable things was said by Sister Najwa Abdul-Tawab. I just want to just say also one other thing in terms of great communication, as Dr. Salahuddin had in her overview. It was said that there was three things in terms of good communications, and that we should be able to leave that person with, in terms of good feelings. And when we're talking about parenting and all, we always want to leave our children with a good feeling in terms about themselves and what it is that we are talking about to them or discussing with them with a good feeling. This is for all good communicators, you know, in terms, especially when it comes to the role of mother and father, in terms of our sons and daughters, leave them with a good feeling. That's one of the things was mentioned. Also, leave them with something to remember. Okay, so if we look at it from an Islamic perspective, of course, we want them to always remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being Allah the Most High as our Creator that has extended the mercy of Al-Rahman, the merciful benefactor, and Al-Rahim, the merciful Redeemer. And in our communication to them, in terms of always remembering Allah, we always will be getting and receiving His guidance in every aspect of our life. And then finally, what Dr. Salahuddin and our beloved Sister Nadja said last week in terms of action, all great communication leads or should lead to action. You know, just to be communicating, but you're not inspired to do anything with it. There always has to be a plan of action, and we should be able to see something as a result of the great communication that we have with our children. We want to be able to see something, and that's how we know that what is being said has actually resonated with them. Could say a lot more about that, but I think I've said enough there, Dr. Patricia Slaudine. So we want to say to our radio listening audience that this is your learning lab. So Dr. Salahuddin and myself, we will entertain any questions or comments that you may have on anything that we said tonight or the overview or even the productions that we've had previous to this. If you have questions, you can press 1, and we know you have your hand up, or you have some comments that you like to make to add to what it is that's being said in this learning lab. You can press 1. We also like to hear from those of you who may come every week, and are you listening, and you're taking good notes, and you're absorbing what is being said. Dr. Salahuddin and myself, we'd like to hear from you if what is being said is resonating with you. This is a learning lab, so it is a classroom style, so we do encourage you to bring your pen and pad because it's usually always something noteworthy that's going to be said in the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. So therefore, you have an opportunity to jot it down so that you don't forget it, and we really like for you to participate. We want to also say to those who may be listening by way of the Internet that if you want to join in the discussion tonight here on the Learning Lab, you have to dial into the station live here. And that number is 714-816-4673. Once again, 714-816-4673. Dr. Patricia Slaudine and myself would love to hear from you if you have a question or comment, or you just want to just let us know that what you're hearing tonight is resonating with you. So with no further ado, we're going to turn you back over to our very distinguished esteemed, the co-host and the co-facilitator of the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, for what it is that we want to give tonight to our radio listening audience, Dr. Salahuddin.
Oh, good. Let's see. Tonight we're looking at competence. And
yes.
So this is the number 5 characteristic. And what Maxwell has said, he has five points to share with us with on fleshing it out. And number 1 is show up every day. Number 2 is keep improving. Number 3, follow through with excellence. Number 4, accomplish more than expected. And number 5, inspire others. So those are the 5 points that he covers in fleshing it out, Mark.
Yeah, so when you look at that, you know, in terms of, you know, I would say that a synonym in terms of competence actually is saying that in terms of it being a very essential quality of a leader to be able to be an able leader, but I've never seen a competent leader that didn't show up every day. So when you read that in terms of how, in terms of fleshing it out, what came to your mind in terms of the importance of showing up every day? It can't be like I've often heard in construction say, oh, he's pretty good, he does good work whenever he shows up. So what comes to your mind, and then how do you see that and can relate that in terms of our children, if in fact that we want to instill that essential quality in them in terms of being competent? Dr. Sloan Dean.
Well, Mark, when we talk about showing up every day, sometimes that's not even physical, because sometimes people can show up and they're not there. They're physically there, but they're not there in their heart,
yeah.
And they're not there in their mind. And
mm-hmm.
So showing up every day is more than just a physical appearance. And it reminds me of the importance of being present. You know, as a teacher, we always had to take attendance. And as a student, you were expected to be present. And one of the things that's important about showing up every day is that your heart is there.
Mm-hmm.
And as a leader, your heart should be there. And
mm-hmm.
as a follower, if I'm following someone, I want to feel that they know what they're doing, they have a plan, and they're here to carry it out, or they're here to help me to help them to carry it out.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very important to me. And as we work with our children, it goes back to that. It really goes back to commitment. You know, if
yes.
you show up every day, that means that you're committed to what you're doing. And we're talking about teaching our children to be leaders. They must understand that when you are committed to something, you put your heart and your soul into it, and you work at it. And you're showing up every day. And that's not just a physical showing up, but it's a mental
yes.
showing up. You are there for this project or for this thing. And
yes.
and you help your children to understand how important it is to be committed to something. And
yes.
like making your prayers. You know,
mm-hmm.
I thought of, as I was reading this segment on competence, as I was reading it, I thought about, you know what, if we would just teach our children this religion, this way of life, we would have
mm-hmm.
the leaders that we're looking for. We would have everything. All we have to do is just teach them what we have, this way of
life.
Excuse
me, Rashid, we might have a mic open. There's a lot of noise in the background. Please mute the mic because we can hear stuff dropping. Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Dr. Sloan Dean.
Okay. No problem. So I thought about that. Just showing up, when you're making your prayers, if we teach
mm-hmm.
our children in making salat, and
mm-hmm.
when you're making your salat, you're present in
mm-hmm.
your salat, not
mm-hmm.
just physically present, but you are actually mentally present in your salat.
Mm-hmm.
These are the things. If they can, we can teach them to practice these kind of the to practice to carry out the activities that make. That the activities that we do in our way of life, in our tradition, and if we could teach them how to carry out those things with sincerity and
mm-hmm.
with completeness, we would
mm-hmm.
have all of these other qualities that we're looking for. Competence and showing up every day would be one of them.
Absolutely. You know, I like the fact that you made the connection because obviously those who've been listening in, they should be making connections with these 21 indispensable essential qualities of a leader. Chance I may, before it's all said and done, I may do a connection with all 21. I'm going to attempt to do that, make do out for me. But Dr. Patricia Saldine so excellently articulated in terms of looking at commitment, and of course, we'll get further on down the road to responsibility, security, and all of those things. All of that is interconnected when we're talking about in terms of competence. Very, very important in terms of understanding the vital components that comprise the human being. As she talked about the mind, you know, we've seen people that come to work, they're physically there, but mentally somewhere else, or their heart, the heart being symbolic of the intention and motivation, you know, that should be present all the time, you see. So when we look at that in terms of showing up every day, we can see sometimes as even as parents or even as employers and see in terms of employer, your heart is not really in this, what it is that you're doing. Or in terms of parents, your heart is not really in your homework to strive to do the best that you possibly can. I'm speaking as a parent, but also as a teacher. A lot of times the niyyah, the intention, the motivation, oftentimes we're able to see that we're not really putting our heart in terms of striving to do our best. So we have to be in the present in terms of what it is that we're doing, but we can't leave our heart somewhere else, and we most certainly always got to have our mind present with us. Other than that, we are not really present. And but then that also says in terms of being responsible, being committed, there's a sense of security that's there. It requires self-discipline. I could go on and on in terms of connecting to these 21 indispensable qualities of a leader. So most certainly, that's the first thing. You have to be able to show up, and you have to have a consciousness. As Dr. Slaw Dean said, in terms of your prayers, those things that you are expected to do, it requires that that you have to be dedicated and committed to doing those things. We could say a lot more about this, but this is an accelerated version. So let's keep moving. Dr. Slaw Dean, want to say that any time, radio listener audience, we do ask that you press 1 if you have a question or comment, anything Dr. Slaw Dean or myself say as we move through these 21 indispensable essential qualities of a leader. What's number 2, Dr. Slaw Dean?
Well, number 2 is keep improving, Mark. And
keep improving.
Keep improving.
So I know you got something to say about that, to keep improving, because how do you really become competent or able leader without keep improving?
That's impossible. You have to keep improving. You have to. We're always measuring ourselves, and we set a goal, and we work at that, and then we go back and look and see how well did I do here in this goal, on this goal. So you have to constantly improve yourself. It's just something that we do in order to make life better. We are constantly working to improve. And Maxwell says that Benjamin Franklin, a highly competent person, continually searched for ways to keep learning and keep growing and then keep improving. That is something that no person is really satisfied with. You know, I don't know it all. I don't know it all. You can't tell yourself that you know it all. There's always room for improvement. And so you want to teach your children that. Sometimes they can get a little complacent, and sometimes they think, well, I'm pretty good at this. I'm a hot shot. I can do this and I can do that. But we always want to help them to see that there's room for improvement. And as a teacher, you know, sometimes students will want, they want an A. You know, I made this A. They made this A. Well, if I made an A, you know, it's no. I cannot go any further than that. I've done it. No, that's not the case. That A was for that particular goal that you made. Now set another goal. Because if you've succeeded in this goal, then set another goal, because you're constantly growing. You're constantly growing, and that's where this improvement comes in, where you're setting goals for yourself, and then you're you're reaching those goals or you're not reaching those goals. And then when you don't reach the goal, then the question is, why didn't I reach this goal? What happened? So you go to the root of the problem and you find out what went wrong or what you didn't have to in order to reach that goal. So it's constantly, you're constantly measuring. And I think about the ayat that tells us that Allah made everything by design and measure. So Allah has made us by design, and we're being measured, and we too measure ourselves. So we're constantly improving on ourselves.
You know, alhamdulillah, that's excellent. You know, and from an Islamic perspective, we look at the word Rabb, as Imam Muhammad has given it to us, Rabb. And this is something that we can begin to start to teach in our children, just certain Arabic, Quranic Arabic terms, such as Rabb. So what is the tafsir of Imam W.D. Muhammad? What is the clear explanation he's given? He said that it means more than just Lord, because we know that man throughout the ages have referred to other men as Lord. So that's not really the best in terms of expression, in terms of when we read Rabb in the Quran. Imam Muhammad say that we should see Rabb as the nourisher, as the sustainer, as the guardian, the protector. But here's the most important one when we start talking about improvement. It came to my mind just as sure as you born, in terms of evolver. So Allah has already put it in the very nature of human beings and also creation to evolve, means to continuously to grow and to continuously grow. You know, not to just stand still and be satisfied or become complacent. You know, I think I shared a couple, 2 or 3 weeks ago, the little poem I used to give to my children when I was raising them up. And I would always tell them what Dr. Salahuddin is saying in terms of constantly want to improve yourself, that there's good, better, and best. Never give it a rest until your good becomes your better and your better becomes your best. Now, why is that important and how does that connect to the Quran? Allah has said to us that he has created the human being in the best of mold, and he has created all human beings, descendants of Adam, with honor. And also it's very important, you know, that we know that Allah has created us with honor and dignity. So if, in fact, that our children are not, they're doing good, but the challenge has to be, can you do better? Will you do better? And then the question becomes, is this the best that you can do? Because in terms of the effort that we put forth, this is what causes us to continuously evolve, to continuously to improve ourselves. And God says in the Quran, and I'll take you to Surah 53:39, where he says the human being can only get what they consciously strive for. And then in the next ayah, he said, and soon it will be made manifest. So we have to teach our children in regards to the age of the stage that they are in life, is that God says that when you put forth the effort, when you work for something, when you're actually striving for something, you know, you have higher goals. This will require that you have to put forth more of an effort, and that you may be doing good. But if you put more of an effort, then you can do better. And then you have to ask yourself, in challenging yourself, is this the best that I can do? This is very, very important to note, and I think that if we use this in terms of our parenting skills, I used to say to my children, I never want you to be cheated. And you cheat yourself when you don't put forth your best effort. All I ever require is that you give your best. And when you give your best, then your mind, your heart, and your soul can rest. That was always my teaching to my children. And so if you don't do that, hey, you can't rest because you know you didn't do your best. You know you just wanted to pass the test. And that's why it says that if, in fact, you understand that you can't do your best, then you need to stop your quest and take the self-test. Now, what does it mean meant by that? That if you cannot, you say you cannot do your best, then you need to stop your quest and take the self-test. You need to assess yourself as to where you are. And you need to eliminate those things in terms that's not being a disabler to you actually doing your best. These are the type of things that we have to have with our children. And so the encouraging words and the best encouraging words have to be the words of revelation that we get from the Quran. And depending on the age and stage where they are, we need to be able to ingest the Quran and understand it and be able to speak to them where they are. I could say a lot more about that, but this is accelerated. So I'm hoping that what Dr. Salahuddin and myself have given is food for thought and actually will help you begin to start thinking, say, you know what? I'm going to start communicating these principles to our children, our grandchildren, nieces, nephews, or if you're a mentor, begin to start using these techniques in terms of giving the Quran to our children in a way whereas it's digestible or understandable for them. Dr. Salahuddin, you have any other comments regards to that, or you want to move to the next one?
Hey, Mark, we have a hand up.
Oh, okay. Rashid Salam, we got somebody with their hands up out there, or you want to
ask
the question, make a comment?
Yeah, I will answer this question here. We have 317-753. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from. Hang on. Okay, your mic is unmuted. 317-753, please state your name and tell us where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. I think I recognize that voice. Who are you? Where are you calling from here?
This is Brother Michael Sahir Mikhail Sahir calling to your wonderful show.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, sir, brother. It's always an honor to hear you. And all you have, of course, y'all, something you want to add to the topic tonight?
Yeah, well, I'm listening to these qualifications, you know, that stated, and they're beautiful. And so I said, well, that's the perfect time for me to call in to apologize for listening to your show 2 weeks ago.
I forgot that we just went on. We went on without you, praise Allah.
No, I have forgot because I said that's the second time. It was Thanksgiving Eve, and my son came in with his children from our town, and he rearranged the evening. And I said, "Oh my goodness, I did it twice." So, but part of character building is to be able to, you know, say, in the public setting, you know, hey, I made a mistake.
Yes, sir.
And that's how we can really grow. And I think many of us don't practice that
yes,
form
sir.
Of charity. I don't know if you see it as a form of charity, but I do.
Yes,
you
sir.
Know, we have to be able to show our youth, our children, you know,
mm-hmm.
how to recognize the wrong or shortcomings, because that's how we grow and become
that's
better.
Right.
So.
Right.
Alhamdulillah. So that's really it. Yeah, I can go and call just to get that load off my shoulder. I've been saying for about 10 days now.
Alhamdulillah. Well, brother Imam, you know, this is good, you know, for our radio listeners to hear you actually say that because that is how it is that we grow, because it shows a consciousness on your part in that regard, and so when we are sensitive as a basher, we're sensitive human beings, and having a consciousness also says that we have to have a sensitivity in terms of even if it's inadvertently, unconsciously, something that we may say that we're going to do, but we didn't do it in that regard. That helps us to grow and become a better person. It takes a strong person of good character to do that and not just to bypass it. So Dr. Salahuddin and myself, we appreciate it. I know I myself and being the host of the roundtable, we appreciate it much. We appreciate you and all the work that you do.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. And thank you both. Keep up the good work.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And you do likewise. Assalamu alaikum. Okay. Yes, sir. Press one as you go out, Imam Sahir. Is there any other callers with their hands up, Rashid, or do you have something that you'd like to say?
Yes, I do. I do. I'm still reacting from a statement that she made earlier about the schools and taking attendance. And as soon as she said that, it took me back to my elementary days where I had a science teacher who was a tremendous leader. When she did her attendance, you had to stand up and say, "My name is so-and-so, and I'm president, ready to learn." Everybody had to do that. So she made sure that, I mean, when she mentioned about attendance, it just flashed. Wait a minute. My teacher was really leading us, energizing our spirit so that our souls can grow, you know, and to stand up and say my name, and I'm ready to learn, Miss Jenkins, you know, and that's what everybody had to say with enthusiasm. She would not allow you to just blasé speak it. So that was really important as a leader who affected my life, and I just wanted to comment on that. And I'm just sitting here taking notes again, and I'll have something to say a little bit later on. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. Well, thank you so much, Rashid Salam. I know I enjoyed it. Dr. Salahuddin, I know you enjoyed it, the regular listening audience. Wow. You know, as an educator, Dr. Salahuddin, something like that may be a technique that teachers could use today in 2021. A class is the beginning. Stand up and state your name. I am present, and I'm ready to learn.
That does put a lot on the mind of the young student. You know, if they're reminded, even if that's not what they plan to do, but they're reminded that's what you're expected to do. And so you are, and when you make that statement, you put it out there, and so everyone in the room heard you say that you are ready to learn. That was a great, great technique. I really thank you for sharing that. That was a great technique. Maybe that would be something that.
I think it becomes a reminder. Your mm-hmm. purpose for being there. And, you know, Imam Muhammad said that life should be lived on purpose, and that's including for our children. You know, why are you there? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, because they can easily be sidetracked in terms of mm-hmm. the attention diverted, I should say, to other things. Not the reason why they are actually there in a learning environment. And so maybe that technique could be used as a reminder to the children, you understand, this is who I am, so you stating your name, and I am present. You know, well, it's just like we went back to not only being physically present, but also I'm mentally present. And also it would be, if it's sincere coming from the heart, then that means that my intention, my motivation is that I am present here, ready to learn. In other words, this is what the teachers, educators want. This is the type of student that educators want. You understand? Those who are prepared, coming as a student, ready to learn. Boy, how good would it be if teachers had a classroom of students like that? And what they're saying is not just a dress rehearsal or, just a ritual, but they actually do mean that, you know. So it's a lot to be said about that, but I love that what Rashid said, so alhamdulillah. Want to say once again to our radio listening audience, this is your Learning Lab. So if you have a question or comment before the top of the hour, We would like for you to press 1, question or comment, or what's being said is resonating with you. This is the time to do it. Dr. Salahuddin, let's try to get through these here. What we have up next?
All right, you want number 3 or?
Yes, number 3. Let's go.
Number 3, follow through with excellence. Now, this one is has some very good points. It's a quote I want to read in this one.
Okay.
This is a quote by Willa A. Foster, and the quote is, "Quality is never an accident. It is always the result of high intentions, sincere effort, intelligent direction, and skillful execution. It represents the wise choice of many alternatives." I thought that was a good word to share.
Yeah, very, very much so. Any commentary you like to make on that quote or follow through with excellence before I make my commentary on that, Dr. Salahuddin?
Well, I would say that one of the things that if we look at, I'm going back to what I said earlier, if we teach our children our way of life, our religion, then we will have all of these qualities. And one of the things that was mentioned here is high intentions. And so with us, we are reminded that we know that we are judged by our intentions. So intentions are very important to us.
Yes.
In whatever you're doing, it's your intentions that counts. Because sometimes you do something and it's not your intention. Like Imam Safiya, he intended to be a part of the program, but something happened. But it was his intentions to be a part of the program. So we're not judging a person based on anything but the intention. So if his intentions would be a part of the program, then alhamdulillah. Then that's what we look at. A sincere effort. It is important that whatever we do, we're sincere about it. Our sincerity is high. It's very highly regarded in our way of life, and when we're making our prayers, when we're going in, we're doing our Ramadan, when you're going to Hajj, everything, your sincerity is so important and highly regarded. And then intelligent direction. Anytime we follow Allah's path, that's an intelligent direction.
Yes.
And then skillful execution. Do whatever you do, do it right, and make the wise choices. Whatever you're doing, do the right thing and make your wise choices. And those are my comments on that.
Yeah, alhamdulillah, that's excellent. You know, just want to say something in terms of what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said in a very sahih hadith, very sound and firm, that when the believer endeavors to do something, he endeavors to do it with excellence. And that's different in terms of words, but with excellence. And this was in terms of his uswa. He was an excellent human model. You see, follow through with excellence. You know, we should say to our children, you know, that you have been chosen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen his human creation in terms of actually being Khalifa. This is very, very important. And, you know, as a wordologist, you might be able to use this. You can put it in your purse or put it in your pocket. And if not, you can just discard it. But in teaching our children in terms of the word chosen, it is constantly having opportunity. Select excellence now. You know, when you've been chosen, you are given opportunity each day. And how we should frame that to our children, each day that you wake up, you understand, Allah is giving you another opportunity. Select excellence now. Select excellence now. You see, the only time that we can actually, and why is that important? It's important because the only time that we can do anything or accomplish anything is in the present or in the now. Select excellent now. You constantly have an opportunity. You have an opportunity day after day after day after day after day. The first thing you're supposed to say, all praise is due to Allah, who have given me life after death. What do we mean? You understand? Have given me a consciousness after being unconscious. And to your will, I will return. So you constantly have an opportunity. Select excellence now. Oh, I could say a lot more about that, but I'm hoping that that's resonating with you all out there. So if you see that as a gold nugget, then put it in your pocket and use it. Use it in terms of your parenting skills. Tell our children that each day that they wake up, Allah allows them to wake up. He's giving you another opportunity. Be thankful. Be grateful for that opportunity. And select excellence now in whatever it is that you're doing in terms of your endeavors. Okay, let's keep moving, Dr. Slaudine. I think we might be able to make it. What do we have up next?
All right. thank you. You're moving this wagon right along. Thank you.
Yeah.
What's next is accomplish more than expected.
Oh, that's a big
Highly
yeah.
competent people always go the extra mile.
That's
we want to teach our children that whatever you put your mind to do or whatever you're given a job to do, do more. Do it better. It goes back to whatever Muslim endeavors to do something, whatever Muslim puts his mind to do something, whatever he does, he endeavors to perfect it. You know, you want to do more than is expected. I remember when I was a teacher and I'd give a student an assignment and they would do more. I would think, well, you know, this student is going places.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could tell, you know, that student that did a little extra work. I mean, you know, not necessarily trying to impress me because that's not always easy to do. But if you do the extra work that shows that you are thinking beyond just get this done, just get through, just finish this report, whatever you ask me to do, I'm just going to do that, you know. But it means that you actually you're inspired to learn more, or you're inspired to reach beyond the fence that was put up. You know, you're inspired to do that. So doing more than what's required is a good sign that you are a progressive, very progressive person, and that's what you want to do.
Yes, alhamdulillah. That's excellent. You know, while you were saying that, you know, to go the extra mile, and we still, for those who are just tuning in, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Dr. Patricia Slaudine and Mark Shahid here. You know, as a wordologist, I'm always looking at words in awe. We have to convey to our children, as is the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, we don't want our children just to be, what they say, ordinary by society standards. You know, we have an extraordinary religion. We have an extraordinary way of life, a life that God has said in the Surah 53, the last ayat, report is the last ayat, that on this day that Allah has perfected our way of life and he's completed his favor. It's a favor on us that day. And in terms of what has been chosen and you have been chosen for the religion of Al-Islam. This is very, very important when we understand that and we teach it to our children, that we can see that we don't have just what is called an ordinary life as defined by Western society. This is an extraordinary life, because when we look at it in comparison to creation itself, then if we want to be extraordinary, that means that we have to do extra. And so how do you relate that? You know, you have the five prayers, which is obligatory prayers. The sunnah prayers are extra.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did that. And sometimes you can do extra. There are Muslims that I know that fast 2 days out of the week. That's not far. That's not obligatory. You see, that's extra. You see, so we can continue. I can continue to go on about talking about extra. But if, in fact, that we want to instill this indispensable, essential quality in our children as a leader, it's going to require that you do extra above that what is expected. This is how leaders rise. They don't limit themselves. I'm going to say that again, so I hope it resonates. They don't limit themselves. We had an extraordinary leader, contemporary leader, one that come from the same experiences as ourselves, Imam Warithuddin Muhammad. How was he distinguishing himself? He did extra. Mm-hmm. And Allah says in the Quran, where you just made reference earlier, in Surah 49:13, he says that the one that's most honored in his eyesight is the one that is most consciously regardful of him.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So that's not an ordinary person. That's not an ordinary Muslim. That's not an ordinary believer, mu'min. You see? And so this is how we distinguish ourselves. And then when we look at in terms of being competent, this is how you distinguish yourself as a leader. You know, just I was just in a class a little bit before I came on. It was one of the reasons I was a little bit late, because when Imam Muhammad became the leader, he did extra. Some of us remember those four Sundays, four, mm-hmm. five. I think one was almost 6 hour lectures.
Mm-hmm.
He did extra. That's how you get to become extraordinary. So I'm hoping that this is resonating with our radio listening audience. We have about 2 minutes left, Dr. Salahuddin, and I'm going to share one of them with you for your closing remarks. This has been excellent tonight in terms of the fifth of the 21 indispensable essential qualities of a leader, which is competence. Dr. Salahuddin.
Well, I just want to close with that last point that Maxwell made, and that was to inspire others. And I think
yes.
that the leader, I enjoy being led by someone who inspires me. And if I'm a leading something, I want to inspire the people who are working with me. And it creates a wonderful environment, a working environment that people love to be in. And when people trust each other and they have that love for one another and compassion for one another, that inspiration is there. So inspiring one another is something that we should all strive to do, whether we're leading or whether we're following.
Boy, I tell you, I say alhamdulillah, the praise and thanks belongs to Allah. For you, Dr. Patricia Salahuddin, you know, you inspire me, and I'm quite sure you inspire many of our radio listening audience that listen to you each and every Wednesday here on IWDM Radio on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Inspire us with the insight and wisdom that Allah has blessed you with, and we most certainly appreciate you in terms of sharing with us. And we look forward to next week to continuing on, and we can pick that up and make a note of that in terms of inspiring others. So I want to just send the greetings of peace to you, Dr. Salahuddin. As-salamu alaykum.
Wow, alaikum salam, Martin. Thank you.
Yes, you're most certainly welcome and on. And if you can stay with us for the MGM roundtable, I think you're going to find it to be an interesting topic with very esteemed resident imam here in the Gateway City, Imam Jihad Mukhmet. But before I bring him on and bring on the MGM roundtable, I want to remind you that here on IWDM Radio that tomorrow the Sister Learning Lab will be on, and that is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Quran Shakir that reside there in the Jewel of the South. That's the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. She will be joining me on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and that will start at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And so as we transition now to the MGM Roundtable, I always like to begin each of these productions with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Shadu ilaha illallah wa sharika lahu. Wa shahadu anna Muhammadan abduluhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the guardian, the evolver, the sustainer, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble messenger. And what follows in the excellent salutation of the Prophet Muhammad, may the prayers and peace be upon him. I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host and the producer of the MGM Roundtable. That is the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, where each and every Wednesday evening here on IWDM Radio, I'd like to bring and present to you very distinguished and esteemed guests inside of our community, also outside of our community, and also topics that are pertinent to us as a community. And no less tonight, as we have as our very distinguished and esteemed guest, Imam Jihad Mukhmet, who is the resident imam where I attend here in the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis, Al-Mu'minun Islamic Center. And it's an honor to have him on. And I have given some long thought about that because he had given a khutbah about 2 weeks ago that really stood out in my mind. And the topic of that khutbah was marriage, family, and community life. And because of that, and I recognize the importance of that and the connections that he made, I thought it was just incumbent to have my resident imam here in the Gateway City as my guest. I'm honored to have you and extend the greetings of peace to you, Imam Jihad Mukhmet. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, Mark Shaheed, and all the listening audience. We bear witness that there's nothing to be served nor to be worshipped other than Allah, highly glorified be He. And we bear witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah is His prophet, messenger, and seal of the prophets.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. It's an honor, Imam Jihad Mukhmet, to have you. It's the first time on this new platform that I'm on IWDM Radio and all. And I know that some of the people, especially locally here, are tuning into IWDM, but this is a national audience, as you well know. And there are people that maybe hearing you for the first time. So I want to just give you a couple few minutes, if you would, in terms of introducing yourself, what it is that you would like the radio listening audience to know. Who is Imam Jihad Mukhmet?
Yes, sir.
Once again, welcome to the MGM Roundtable.
Well, thank you again, Mark. It's an honor and a pleasure when you invite, because I've listened to your programs, and it's always substantive. It's something that we can always use in a community, you know. Information. They got people that make money on top of money on top of money because they got the information, they got the know-how, and making money for those people is not
hard once you get the know-how. So you're always bringing something that as a people or community that we need to hear to help us as a whole. But myself, as you say, I'm the resident imam of Al-Muqminun Islamic Center, along as chaplain for the St. Louis City Police Department and the St. Louis City Justice Center. And I'm a father, husband, person very involved in the community. And I think, like you said, the cookbook that I gave, I was trying to give a connection that this is what life is all about. It's not just about us as individuals. It's about the whole pie, not just one slice of the pie. So I just dedicated my life to community affairs, community building, and whatever we can do to help as Muslims or as people in general, just to do better and be better than what they are.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Yeah, excellent. You know, Imam Jahad Mukman, you know, I guess the first question I want to ask to you, I know how much you're aware, you know, it is in terms of even the association of Imam W.D. Muhammad, in terms of the importance of marriage, family, and community life, you selecting that topic, want to know what was your inspiration, your motivation for giving that, because I know the last time a marriage khutbah that was given, et salatu juma. So, you know, I want to make sure that we're clear here, because when we handicap in terms of marriage, wedding ceremonies, that can be considered in terms of sometimes giving a talk in regards to the social responsibilities that each one have before actually taking the vows before Allah and before witnesses. But I see it to be a rarity. I have to say my good brother and friend, Imam Fahim Shuaib, has been a forerunner in doing that. As a matter of fact, oftentimes when he takes on the topic of nikah, marriage, or he may do a series. A series may run for a month or better, but it's not a rare, I mean, it's not frequent that we're seeing this in lieu of the fact that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a Sahih Hadith, has said that marriage is one half of your deen, your religion. And there's a lot of things that we consider to be very important, but this is what the Prophet said. So what was your inspiration, motivation for giving that lecture 2 weeks ago at Al-Mu'minun Islamic Center? Brother Imam?
Yes, sir. Well, Mark, as you just said, said what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reported to have said, that marriage is 50%, half of this way of life or this deen or this debt that we have. And if you think about that, 50%, that's half, you know, and that's half exactly what it says, 50%. And so as a Muslim or a people in general, not just Muslims, what we got is for humanity. It's not just for us when it comes to Allah's creation. So if it's half of it and we are not putting attention to it, or we're not talking about it, and, you know, I said, well, what better platform to bring it out than in Salatul Jumu'ah? Because that is a time where we bring out the spiritual, in the first part of it, and then the second part is about social and community affairs. And so I thought that was the best time to bring that up, and it's going in line with the tradition of giving a khutbah, because we talked about Allah, and we can tie in on how Allah is leading us to marriage life. So that's what Allah put on my heart, because like you said, without saying anything, nothing against our because we love our Jemat here locally. We got good brothers and good sisters. You know, we love them.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's something that we can go across the country, and we can see that the marriage is not happening. You know, nikahs are not being performed as much as janazas. You know, and so I think it's a conversation that we really, really, really should start having. Whatever platform we can get to put some share some light on the importance and the seriousness of us taking on the sacred institution of marriage.
Alhamdulillah. Excellent, excellent. Very well said. You know, and the point that you made in your khutbah, you just referenced again in terms of, you know, what's going on in our local masajids and our Islamic centers across the country in terms of it being more janazas as opposed to nikahs. And also maybe say even birth in our communities, you, new father this year, these things should be a sign of progression in our community. But if, in fact, that there are more janazas and not many marriages that's going on, then this may be an indication that we're at best a surviving community, but not a thriving community. You reference in your khutbah Surah Al-Furqan, which is the 25th surah of the Quran, in terms of what Allah said. He has created the human being from water, and then he established the relationship of lineage and marriage, and that Allah has power or influence over all things. I thought that was a good foundation to use in articulating to the Jemaat that this is something that Allah has given provisions, because the students of Imam Muhammad, he has in the Quranic context. It's just not talking about just the physical creation from water, but also what water actually is in terms of Allah creating the human being with emotions. And sensitivity is also one of the definitions that Imam Muhammad gives to us in this symbolic language, which means that the human being was prepared first with sensitivity, emotions. You couldn't really be a family or a responsible family member nor in marriage without that. And then he said he established the relationship of lineage and marriage. Would you talk about that a little bit in terms of that? Because as I see it, that sometimes some believers may think that it's an option, but Allah has said that he has established it. And who would know better, Imam Jihad Mu'min?
Yes, sir, Marsha. He praise be to Allah. What led me that particular week, it was Thanksgiving week. And I know,
yes,
you know, a lot of times, you know, people you may not have seen for a while, you know, everybody goes out to Salat al-Jumma during that time to give thanks. Everybody's conscious of Allah. They're grateful for the things that's going well in their life, and they come out, you know, alhamdulillah. And that topic, Allah led me to that because we all know how it is during that time. You're going over family, your friends, you just, you know, giving thanks. Some people travel, you know. But now how can we have that if we don't listen to what Allah is saying to us in that ayat, in 25 that you just referenced, where he says he has created or he's established marriage and also lineage, you know, the lineage which comes in terms in its family life.
Yes.
You know, you can have family life, not sacred family life. You can have family life, but it's not sacred. It's not the way Allah has led us to it if it's not one of commitment. That's what we want. We want commitment, and that's what marriage is. You know, it's not necessarily you look at having, you know, you got a wedding, you got a ceremony, but we're talking about in the sight of Allah, and that's the commitment that we have toward that person. I don't know any position that a person can apply for where you're dealing with a number of people that's important. That's one of the criteria that they look for. You know, mentioning 25 criterion, that's a criterion that people look for when you apply for certain positions. Are you married? Because it lets you know that you are. This is a person that should know how to display diplomacy, you know, because you have to learn that in married life. This is a person who is not going to be selfish, because you have to give up a lot of some things that you may want to do in married life, but you know now you got others, you know, depending upon you, so you have to sacrifice some. So it's just it leads to a quality in the human being, male and female, when we take that on, and all of it's leading to the family life.
Yes, alhamdulillah. You know, in terms of Allah saying that he established the relationship, but would you say also, Imam Jahan, that it also establishes, the sacred family life, in that you're making reference to this is the way Allah wanted the family life to be established. This is the way Allah wanted the marriage to be established. Then he established it. And then so this is the parameters in terms of us getting to know what is that system of knowledge, you understand, because whatever it is Allah creates is a system of knowledge for, and whatever it is that Allah establishes, that is his, and we have to see the sacred institution of marriage as Allah's marriage. So, you know, do you see that in terms of establishing that, that helps to establish not only the marriage life, but also the family life, and also in terms of community life, Brother Imam?
Yes, sir. No doubt about it. That's what Allah is leading us to. I mean, we may not see it sometimes, but that's exactly what he's leading us to. You know, I reference, you know, we say we live, we die, and we live again. And as Muslims, we believe in the seen and the unseen. And we do believe there's something that we're gonna that we didn't struggle to come on this earth into this earth in our mother's womb from the beginning, holding on like a leech, like clot, go through the struggle of holding on for 9 months or whatever, struggle to walk. Umar, my son, he's crawling now. You know, he just got on his knees a few days ago to crawl, and he'll be struggling to walk soon. So to think that we go through this whole life with challenges and things in front of us, and then all of a sudden we die, and just think that's the end of us, it just doesn't make sense. There is a spiritual side of us that the Muslim that we know, in fact, is there. And so Allah addresses us in that form, in the spiritual form. This is just how serious this is. And I think we sometimes may not catch it. It's more than a physical when you take on, that's why it's a sacred institution of marriage. It's almost like the rights at one point, they called it civil rights, and some people got a little more conscious, and they said, well, you know, it's human rights. But that's not even correct. It's a divine right that Allah has given to every human person to live their life in freedom, peace, and to pursue whatever their dreams are, whatever it is that their dreams are. And so this spiritual life that Allah, he talks to us and he tells us, even in the spiritual life, he says, Adam, you know, you and your wife, Hawa, Eve, to dwell here. So Allah is talking to us about marriage even in the spiritual realm of things. That's just how when you really understand it, it's not just the physical. It's a spiritual connection to marriage. And it benefits not only the individuals, but it also benefits the community.
Yes, alhamdulillah. I want to say to our IWDM radio listeners, if you tune in late, you are listening to IWDM, and you're listening to the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And I have at the roundtable a very distinguished and esteemed guest, our resident imam here in the city of St. Louis, Al-Mu'minun Islamic Center, Imam Jihad Mukmin. So if you have a question or you have a comment that you like to address to Imam Mukmin, we ask that you do press 1, and my engineer, Rashid Salam, will notify me and let me know that you're in the queue with your hand up. This is a good opportunity to ask questions in regards to marriage, in regards to family, and in regards to community life, and we are talking about that in terms of its connection. And also, Rashid, do we have any callers at this time with their hands up?
Oh, I have my hand up, but let me see what I have to say before somebody else raises theirs.
We'll let you go ahead and ask the question to you, man, with your hand book, man.
Yeah. I had a comment and just a statement to make basically what Dean said. I for some reason today I was doing the demographics for St. Louis, and I looked up the population in the city of St. Louis and the marriage percentage. And so in the city of St. Louis, we have 37% marriage. And in Missouri, we have 57% marriage. But nationally, we have 55% of the people in this country who are married. And that was just really strange to me. And you look at the conditions of the world and you wonder why things are the way they are. And if marriage being 50% of your life, can you imagine the problems that we're experiencing, that we're having in this country right now based on the fact that we have not fulfilled that sacred obligation? I just want to make that comment. And then you made another statement here about, coming out of corporate America. You know, I was a manager. I wanted to be a district manager. But because I wasn't married, I could never get that position. And so what did marriage mean to corporate America? It meant that you were responsible. You don't know how to have partnership. You don't know how to work with others. And so that marriage energizes the spirit in the person that their soul can be a better person to move forward. So that energizing that takes place with marriage is something that helps us become a full person. I just wanted to say that, and if there's any comments, I appreciate it.
Imam Jihad Mukmin, you just heard Rashid Salam said any comments that you would like to make to that statement?
Oh, yes. Yeah, he made an excellent point, and that is true, in that it makes, and I kind of think I might have said that earlier, it makes both male and female. It makes you better. It makes you who Allah created you to be. Inshallah, it should, you know, at some point, you know, make you to be what Allah intended. Allah says there's no wise is the male like the female. So we have roles in this thing. Called life. Male has a role, and so does the female have a role. Even though Allah says He has created us from one from one essence, but still He said that the male is no wise like the female. But it makes us better. You know, when Allah says to us, and we know that anybody that's listening here will attest that when you are single, you know, especially brothers will sit up, they'll eat. They'll leave the dishes piling up in the sink. I mean, it's just totally different from when you got a female, you got a woman around, you got a wife. You know, it just makes you get up and be more active, because we get lazy sometimes when we're by ourselves. And I think part of the issue, the reason why sometimes we get selfish. And we get content, or we get okay with just, you know, I don't want to share this. I don't want to share my home. Sometimes sister might not want to share a home. Brother might say, you know what, I don't need nobody telling me, because, you know, sister's got a tone that Allah gave them, boy. And they can say something to you, even though you are her husband and you know, you're an adult. But if she can get on you about something, just make you, you know, like, oh, man. You know, and so some people, they don't want that. They want to just eat when they want to, sleep as long as they want to, and do what they want to. But Allah says that we are the maintainers and the protectors, you know. And so that right there itself is not just for the family life, but it extends to the community life. But also Allah says to us that, and I'm just referencing what Allah says because this is not my opinion or Mark Shahid's or Rashid Salam. This is what God is leading us to. And so as long as we say what God said, we can't go wrong with that. But he says, marry out of what I have provided for you. Because sometimes we'll get, again, complacent, and we'll say, yeah, well, when I get this $150,000 a year job, I'll get married then where I can get this 7-bedroom home with 3-car garage. That's when I'll get married. But, well, FYI, you might not never get that $150,000 job. You might not never get that 7-bedroom home. So what are you going to do then? You just going to continue just being doing the opposite of what Allah leads you to, which is the best if we only knew.
Yeah, you know, I think you make a valid point there, Imam Jahan Mufin. Often I like to refer to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in terms of the, well, I said, the short list that he gave in terms of why one would marry, and that short list being for looks, or is it beauty, which is for looks, or for wealth, or for lineage. We talked about lineage in terms of even lineage being social status in all. But the fourth one that he said that should be a priority is taqwa, and our beloved leader has translated that in terms of being consciously regardful of God, consciously regardful of God. And that consciousness regardful of God is God's word, his will and his way for us to actually live. So he has prioritized that for us. And so when we look at that short list, you can't go wrong if, in fact, that you're prioritizing that the mate that you're looking for is, first of all, you have to be conscious regardful of God's word, will, and way. And then you should be looking for a mate that is also consciously regardful of God's word, will, and way, meaning that you is trying to the best of your ability to adhere to the word of revelation, the Quran, that you are trying to make your will conform with God's will is, because in the sacred institution of marriage, it is in fact God's will and plan, as you well know. And then there's a way that Allah wants us to interact with each other so that the marriage actually can and will work. But you have to be on that same plateau. You have to be on that same level in terms of understanding and the commitment to actually doing that, because other than that, it's just not going to actually work. So how would you respond to that? Because I think, Imam Jahan Mufin, is that oftentimes it's one or both that don't understand that this is part of God's will and plan. And so this half of the deen, of the debt that we owe, we repay that debt in the life that we live. And so you want to choose someone that is conscious and regardful of that, and you become helpmates to each other in terms of striving to pay that debt in terms of the sacred institution of marriage. Imam Jahan?
Yes, sir. Excellent, Mark. A good point that you brought out there. You know, the question you posed to me earlier about why did I choose, well, one, Allah led me. He inspired me to give that cookbook, number one. But the other thing was, we say it all the time, want for your brother or your sister what you want for yourself. And so I know how married life is for me. You know, I say, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. All the time, I'm grateful and thankful to Allah for having a wife like he's blessed me with, a new son, another Muslim, you know, inshallah, we'll be raising in the community. And that's what this is all about, you know. But the other thing is that you know, we know no bird of birds can bear the burden of another. We clear on that. We clear. But we can give each other support and inspiration. So if you got two, as I tell brothers all the time, don't be trying to get your wife to submit to you. You want your wife to submit to Allah. You know, that's what you want. If she's submitting to Allah, you don't have nothing to worry about. Trust me, she gonna treat you what you gonna feel, what you, you know, you gonna feel what you need to from her, as long as she's submitting to Allah. You know, so when you got two people striving, you know, to please Allah, number one, you know, and then working in the community, there's nothing like it. I mean, there's nothing like it. And age has nothing to do with it. I mean, it's just a connection there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, if you can get, like you said, the looks and all, if you can get that, yeah, that's okay. That's alhamdulillah. But you look at that inside first. If them, if that inside is beautiful, you know, and you know, God fearing, then that's where it starts. And I think so many times we look for the opposite first, and then we look and find out that inside is just like horrible, and then it does last. You know, we, as you know, Mark Shaheed, my situation was one that was kind of unique. You know, that I was much, much older than my wife, you know, when we got married, much older. And a lot of the people who was married around the time that we got married, they have since split, you know, and we're still here by the grace and mercy of Allah. We still here holding on, and we still, you know, steady loving each other more and more every day, you know. And the thing that holds us, that keeps us through whatever little period we went through, was that we both love Allah. That's what kept us with all our struggles that we've been through. That's what got us to this point right now today, is loving Allah. So as long as the human being does that first, you know, and hope, that's the main premise, and then, you know, you can work through the other things.
Yes, sir. Very well said, Brother Imam, and want to say to our radio listening audience, we have as a very distinguished, esteemed guest here at the MGM Roundtable, Imam Jihad Mukman, the resident Imam in the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis, Al Mukminun Islamic Center. And we're talking about a most recent khutbah that he gave that was a very stirring, very informative, very substantive khutbah. And that title was Marriage, Family, and Community Life. So if you have a question or comment, don't hesitate to press one. I'm pretty sure that the believers out there know him. Oh, we got a caller in the queue. So that's okay,
yes,
right?
Sir.
See, that's for the caller. And they have on their mind.
Yeah, we have two. We have 219-484. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from.
Yes, Dr. Jamal Rashid.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Jamal Rashid, and welcome to the MGM Roundtable. You got a question or comment for our guest, Imam Jihad Mukman?
Yeah, I just tuned in about 10 minutes ago, and what I heard so far made me want to make a comment when the ma'am said age doesn't have anything to do with it, you know. You know, we look at this institution as one of the most sacred, if not the sacred institution, and for the community and for the family and for the whole society, individual all the way up to the society. And, you know, we often say that education is more and goes far beyond academics. And so just like we emphasize that there's education or intelligence, we have to ask ourselves, what is education? You know, is it just academics, or is it beyond that? What is emotional intelligence or economic intelligence? If we are defective in those two areas, for example, are we truly knowledgeable? You know, so we have defects, but look at marital intelligence, just like parental intelligence. Parents have to be intelligent on how to be a parent.
Yes.
Just like couples have to be intelligent on how to be married. And so when you look at the value, what's important? You know, what has the society taught individuals about that label marriage? And what should it be? And,
yes.
And what do we define as a ideal mate or a mate, period? What are we looking for? And
yes.
So when you look at one of those parables, you find out that there are all these misconceptions of what we believe, but it is a misunderstanding or very dangerous thought pattern. You look at all the miseducation, and that's what it is. It's the same as what Dr. Kaji Wilson stated, miseducation, but we thought he was speaking only of, you know, the things that was happening during that time in the 1920s. But miseducation is a serious disease, epidemic disease, a pandemic disease, just like the medical stuff is.
Alhamdulillah.
That to your conversation.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Dr. Jamal Rashid, for calling in. I want to say that Dr. Jamal Rashid, while Imam Muhammad was living, endorsed all of his books, his work. Imam Muhammad said that we should have his books in our homes. We should read them, and they should be a part of our library. And I also want to say that Dr. Jamal Rashid, a very distinguished, esteemed host, along with Henry Hasib, each and every Thursday morning on our sister station, that's AM 360 radio, that starts at 7 a.m. in the morning, 6 a.m. for the Central Standard Time Zone, 4 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, Solutions for Critical Issues. We always have very substantive topics and have solutions for the critical issues that human beings are being confronted with. Do ask that you tune in to that, and you can get that by dialing 515-605-9891 each and every Thursday morning. Solution for Critical Issues with Dr. Jamal Rashid and Henry Hasib. Please press 1. Assalamu alaikum. Press 1 as you go out, Dr. Jamal. I want to get a response from a special guest here on the round table, Imam.
We have another. We had two on the line, Mark. We had two questions.
We're
going to
get we'll get a short response, a very succinct response, and then we're going to go to the other two callers. You'd like to say anything in terms of what Dr. Jamal?
Yes, sir. Yeah, as he was saying, miseducation, miseducated in all aspects, and marriage being one of them. You know, we can look at sometimes how people can just say, for instance, you're going for the beauty. You're going for the beauty. You're going for the look. You're going for the shape, you know, and that can lead you to go get into a marriage with somebody who has no substance whatsoever. You know, and it's just a lot of drama, a lot of problems, and we see that all throughout our society where people are not educated. They don't have the education to know what is best for them when it comes to their sacred institution. So they're going for something that this world has put up and put in front of them and make them feel like that's what they need, that's what makes them successful. You look at the athletes, they make multi-million-dollar contracts, go get them a white woman. That's what they've been taught. This is what you need to be successful. Well, Allah has given us something different, and we know what it is to be successful in a marriage. We should know what we need in a mate, not just what we want, but what we need in order to try to fulfill what Allah wants us to fulfill.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much for that response, Imam Jihad. And we got some other callers that want to ask you a question and make a comment. Let's go, Rashid, who we have up next, and see what they have on their mind.
Well, we have your co-host, 786-797. Please state your name and tell us where you call it from.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Patricia Salahuddin, and I'm calling from Miami, Florida. And this is a very interesting topic. I remember when my children were growing up and getting married, how was, how concerned I was as a mother of my children's marriages to be successful. So my question is, what steps can the community take to support married couples, sometimes even the couples before they get married, and then the couples after they get married? And then the second question is, we have a lot of those statistics that Brother Rashid gave was just, you know, really startling statistics about the number of people that are married. And I'm noticing that the younger people are just not getting married, Muslim, non-Muslim. And I have grandchildren who are marrying they're at the age to get married, but they're not interested. So my question is, how do we, you know, what can the community do?
Yes.
Other than talk, I mean, what can you physically, not make them get married, but what can you do to convince? What kind of things could we do to drive home that message that marriage, the importance of marriage? I mean, other.
Yes,
yeah,
excellent question, Dr. Patricia Slaudin. Imam Jahan Mukman, you heard Dr. Slaudin's interest and concern. What is it that you think could be done or steps that could be taken in terms of actually inspiring our young people that are marriageable age to want to get married, from your perspective, Imam Jahan Mukman?
Yes, sir. Well, you know, it's, you know, I would say the first question, one of the things we can do is just like when we talk about the sacred institution. Okay, my wife is childbearing years. She was younger than I was, so we were able to have a child. In some cases, it's not like that. Some people are beyond a childbearing, and they think they are exempt from being married, and that's not true. Because even if you can't bring birth a child in the world, even though that's part of why Allah leads us to that, but even if you can't, you still are an example for those who are younger. So the best thing that we can do is be the example. More people convert to Islam, not by the preaching of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but by the action. So as long as we just continue, those of us who understand that this is an obligation upon us, it's not like you go eat a bad meal and you say, I'm not going to eat no food no more. Nobody says that. You just say you're not going to eat that particular meal anymore that made you sick or it had a bad effect on you or whatever. But you know you have to have it. So when we understand that, we just we try to lead by example. And the other thing that we can do to support, you know, it's kind of like what I'm doing here. My other boy here, he's 18, going to be 19. So I've already talked with another brother. His daughter is about the same age, and we can't compel. Some people might say arrange. It's not arranged, but we will do all we can do. She's a good Muslim, come from a good Muslim family, so is he. And if we can do anything to be instrumental in that, that's what we should do. We should be I put a couple together last night and start the process. We don't date, but we do. There's a courting process, you know. And so we started that yesterday. We do that. We don't just sit back, because if we sit back, it'll take its course. It'll go another way. But if we can have some influence in that, because it's going to happen anyway. Our children, our sons, our daughters, they're going to go at a certain age. It's going to happen. And so if we can do something to say, okay, well, we know they're coming of age, what can we do? Who can we see? Who can we identify in the community that, you know, perhaps, inshallah, if it's Allah's will, that we can bring those together?
Alhamdulillah. I think it's an excellent answer. So hopefully Dr. Patricia Slaudin that answered that. I'm talking about in terms of what I'm seeing, what Imam Jahan is saying, is actually having an action plan in terms of that. So we're just not only just talking to them about the sacred institution of marriage, but the modeling. This is one of the beauties of modeling the sacred institution of marriage in accordance with God's will and plan. You know, because actually our children are impressionable. They're impressionable. And so they learn what they live. And then, so if they can live in that first social environment, which is the family life, so it gets back to the family life, and the mother and the father in terms of role, the child gets the opportunity to see what a real man is like, what a real man, he's got a son, what a real man is like, what a real husband is like, hey, what a real father is like. And the same way with our girls, our daughters, they get an opportunity to see what a real woman is like, what a real wife is like, and finally what a real mother looks like. So that modeling is very, very important. The impressions that are made upon our children that we may not even recognize. So it's the model. So the Prophet Muhammad is the model. He's the model. He's the model for, of course, of monogamy. And as Imam Jihad Mukman mentioned in his khutbah, that most African-American women just would frown on polygyny. But as believers, as Dr. Jamal Rashid said, that the education is very important, and it's just not in terms of academics, not reading, writing, arithmetic, that it encompasses so much. And even with the same, the sacred institution of marriage, it has to be modeled, and it makes impressions upon them. And then we know that the next stage in our children's life is that they're looking for role models when they reach the age from 8 to 14. And then the last 7 years is socialization, but it's a reflection on what has been impressed upon them and what has been modeled for them. To say, hey, I think I'd like to try that. That's the type of life that I want to live, because it has been modeled in a way, whereas that it becomes beautiful and attractive to our children, and so thus they want to have that for their life too. So that's an outstanding answer. And then taking the initiative, not arranged marriages in that regard, but actually seeing another Muslim about the age range and all, coming from a good family. That's what the family life is, to produce. You see, we see that in terms of producing good Muslims, which becomes potential mates. Oh, it's beautiful when you can see that connection there. And so thank you, Imam Jihad Mukman. So hopefully, Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean. And I want to say to you, Imam Jihad Mukman, that's my most distinguished and esteemed co-host and the co-facilitator of the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, just preceded this MGM roundtable and all. So that was an excellent question that she asked, and an excellent response. Let's go, Rashid. Press 1, Dr. Salahuddin, take yourself out of the queue. We can keep the studio board clear. We have somebody else with their hands up. Rashid?
I just wanted to add 2 cents to a little bit of that.
Oh, go ahead.
You know,
put your 2 cents in there.
as they were talking, you know, the thing that came to my mind and the modeling that you're talking about, when we as Muslims in our communities establish, or shall I say, build community life,
mm-hmm.
once that's done with the education that's been being provided with our Quran and our life, our Prophet, peace be upon him, they've already demonstrated, if our children don't see us, they don't see us functioning in ways that are geared around community life, then we have a very difficult time of trying to convince them of anything. So I'm going to say that, and I have one more hand raised. I'm going to do that real quick. I just wanted to say that part. Establish community life. Build, that's one of the key elements here. So
well,
we have also...
Yeah, I'm going to ask Imam Jihad Mukman in regards to that, because that's another question that I want to get to in terms of the connection, how he connected that during the Salat to Juma, the marriage, family, and community life, how they kind of go hand in hand. So let's get to the caller and see what they have on their mind,
okay.
Rashid.
All righty. We have 636-383. State your name. Please tell us where you're calling from.
Abdul Rahim calling from Wentzville, Missouri.
Somebody love.
Assalamu alaikum. Alaikum assalam, and welcome to the MGM Roundtable. Brother Sabir, you got a question or comment for Imam Jihad Mukman?
Yes, I have a comment. It's an excellent program, and I was listening to him saying that when older people should get married, you know, even though women can't beyond childbearing age, and, you know, I'm an older person. I'm right now, I'm courting someone, and there's one brother said to me, you don't waste any time. You know, I know the marriage.
I'm gonna lie.
So, you know,
well, you really was a godsend, you know, because actually that statement that you made, Brother Sabir, I know we have listeners all over the country and even outside the country that's listening, and they said that's one for the elders, for the older people. So I'm got two thumbs up here. I'm giving you two thumbs up. So anything else you'd like to say, Brother Sabir?
No, that's all. Again, I just want to say this is an excellent program, and I hope there's a lot of people listening.
Yes, sir. But thank you so much, Brother Sabir, for calling in and making that statement. And all, you know, so he's one of our pioneers in the Gateway City. I've known him over 50 years, some like close to 54 years, and he's a real good brother. And so he hasn't given up on the sacred institution of marriage, and he's not ashamed to say that he's in the courtship phase right now as we talk. So when you get in that 70 club and everything, as Imam Jihad Mukman said, age don't matter. You know, you're still a human being. So there's a lot to be said about that. Anybody else in the queue there, Rashid, that want to ask a question to Imam Mukman?
Yes, sir. I think we have another hand raised. Is Brother Jamal Rashid. I think he didn't. Brother Jamal, did you have something else to say?
Or did he not press one? He might not have pressed one.
Okay. Very good.
Okay,
all
so
right.
So we're going to go back to you, Imam Jihad Mukman. You heard Brother Sabir call in and make the statement he made. I don't know if you want to respond to that, or I can just continue on with the question. I have any response, Brother Imam?
Yeah, well, for Brother Sabir, I just want to say alhamdulillah. Yes, that's a long way for.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Well, you know, Brother Imam, in your cookbook, because it was marriage, family, and community life, and one of the things, you know, in looking at what the Prophet has said in terms of it being one half of the deen, the religion itself, I think we probably need to look at it in terms of social responsibility. We're talking about in terms of the benefit, how it just transcends just only as an individual life, but two people coming together, but producing family life. And as we continue to look and then families making up community life, and seeing that the responsibility grows more and more, and the social responsibility helps to grow us, as you was indicating earlier, in referencing the Quran, Al-Rujul Kanamuna Al-Anisa, that the men or the legs, they're the supporters and the protector and maintainer of women, and it goes further than just your own wife. It's actually has even a more in-depth meaning that this becomes role and responsibility that we have, and it don't just stop with just the man in terms of his wife, but also what comes as a result of that, which is a family life and families coming together to comprise a community. Would you talk about that in terms of that social responsibility? Because I connect responsibility to maturity in terms of the maturation process, because, as you said, that man by himself would not really do much in terms of accomplishment or establishing pretty much anything, we could probably look at society as Imam Muhammad said, but the woman has become an inspiration, as you say, that this is not only physical, but is also spiritual, and then vice versa. The man has become an inspiration to bring out the best of the femininity in her, and she likewise brings out the best of the masculinity in the man. Imam Jihad Mukmin?
Yes, sir. You know, we have said things in our community, and we never really knew. Some of us may have known, and some of us I don't think knew and still don't know. When we said certain things like, that's my better half, when you was talking about, you know, your wife, or, you know, you say my better half. And that's exactly what it is. That's the other 50% of you. That's the feminine side of you, and you are the masculine side of her. And and you know, when you this marriage is again, it leads to the community, because that's what Allah is leading us to, the model community life. Because you know, when you talk about dates, we don't date. A date is something, it's a time in space that can be broken. You can make a date and break it anytime. You know, you can just go, no commitment, no responsibility. And yes. I think Rasheed said it earlier, this society, we're not trying to convert, we're not trying to, but the principles that we have in Islam, if this society would adopt the principles, just the principles itself. You don't have to adopt the fasting, the fire prayer, none of that. Just adopt the principle, and this society would be much better off. You, child support would be eradicated. You know, you would have more males in the house, where the children, like you said earlier, Mark, have someone to look at as a role model on how they should be. Because they grew up in a household like that. So it's just endless other things that it would help society if we would hold on to this sacred institution of marriage, which would lead to model community life. You know, they say that in the United States of America, that the woman, and I think in particular it was the African-American woman, have found a way to do pretty well, you know, not maybe the best. Of course, they're not going to do the best, but they're doing okay without a man in the house, you know. And that's when you think about that, they have found a way, and this dude, whether it's Section 8, food stamps, welfare, whatever, and it's leading them to have a take on a position that, well, what do I really need a man for? And that's when you get to that point, society is crumbling, and that's why we see the world getting. Part of the problems that we have in our society is coming from that family structure has been broken, and I don't know if it was intentional. I don't know, you know, Allah's the best knower when it comes to that, but it definitely has played a part. It's been eroded to the with the numbers that Rasheed gave. You know, if you go back, it was, you know, people was on marriage 40, 50 years ago. You know, it seemed like every decade or so, less and less people are committed to that sacred institution.
Yeah, well, you know, Brother Imam, I think that we can, Imam Muhammad said, take it to his logical conclusion, is that nothing like this happens by just happenstance. You know, there are social engineers, and we know that the influence of the shaitan, whatever it is that Allah establishes, in terms of bringing about unity, as you were mentioning, that how there's a natural progression from marriage life to family life to community life. And we often talk about, you know, the model community life, and that brings about the unity in that, but also a God consciousness in the community in terms of what is God's word, what is God's will for model community life. What way is it that we are to live together as a community? And so the mercy that Allah extended to us was his Rasulullah, his messenger, as he exemplified that. Before his passing, he established Medina Manawa. And Imam Muhammad says, study that and all. But look at the Muhajirs and look at the Ansars, how, you know, they began to become a family in terms of taking them in and accepting them into their homes. Most of us, I remember a time in the Nation of Islam, and those of us who've been around for a long time, when a traveler, a Muslim, would come, most of the time they didn't stay in hotels. They stayed with us. We invited them into our homes. This kind of replicates in the Sirah of the Prophet Muhammad in terms of establishing a community life. And there were others, Jews and others, that was in that community life and how it was established. This is a good study, and Imam Muhammad has said to us that we should study that model community life. But you said in your khutbah something very noteworthy. We can't get to model community life without having model family life. And model family life means that you have to have model marriages. Do we have family life? But is it in accord with God's will and plan? Rashid could do a little bit more research and bring up. And some of the things that I know is that we're at the bottom of the totem pole. When we talk about African-American babies, depending on where you're getting your data, your statistics, it's been from 70 to 75%. And I have noticed, it's been said to me, because though you know I can't read, but, you know, Allah blessed me to be up on a lot of these things, almost close to 80% of African-American children are born out of wedlock. Think about that. So then we wonder why, you understand, that the destruction in the family life. This is not by happenstance. This is not by happenstance. So the shaitan is in opposition to what God's will and plan is for his human creation. So Imam Muhammad said to us that he wants to alter the perception, you know, in terms of when we go back to the Quran, that's why we have to be, you know, connecting this. He makes wrong fair seeming. He makes wrong fair seeming. As a wordologist, the word wrong is a weak reality obtaining nothing good. So we have all types of relationships. This is not by accident. This is not by happenstance. This is orchestrated to mislead the human creation. And we know that the LGBTQ, they can't produce anything. That's how you know it's wrong, because whatever Allah establishes is productive. Brother Imam, any response?
Ooh, Marv, you just said it all, brother. With that, well, you just covered it. Yes, sir. Yes, praise be to Allah. Yeah, that's it right there. And I think, you know, as the question came about earlier, what can we do? What we can do and what we must do, those of us who Allah has given insight or we seeing these things, we have to use every avenue at our disposal to get this message out. We need to lead by example, number one. And two, we need to give, put the clean glass next to the dirty glass. That's all you do. Put the clean glass next to the dirty glass.
Well,
and people are going to drink that clean glass once they know that clean water is out there. But if all they got is filthy water, muddy water, mosquito-infested water, they're going to drink that because they're trying to survive. And we want them to know that there is this life. Life is beautiful. It's beautiful. Family life is beautiful. I'm sitting here with my my wife had something to do. I'm sitting here with Umar right now. You know, he's here. He's listening. See, we want to put, they say man can live forever, you know, not in the sense physically. But when you got a young person, whether it's your biological or somebody in the community, and you can breathe on them or you can give them some influence, and they can take on some of the things, how you perceive things, then that's you again getting another chance to continue that belief or that system of knowledge. You got them believe, with that now. Now they can go ahead and carry it on because we all going past here.
here one day, you know. So I just want to say this to those who, you know, who we should at least, Brother Sabir said he is, praise be to Allah, he is, he understands that there's no, I don't care, 90, 100, 30, 25, it doesn't matter. Whatever your age, after time has, you know, passed, then you should at least have a desire. It's like making Hajj. If you don't ever make it, just have a desire in your heart for that. Or,
yes,
you know, it's like the battle of Badr, and there was those who didn't have horses or camels, and they would cry. They had tears flowing because they just wanted to go so bad and try to support, you know, the struggle. So at least have it in your heart that you going, you know, you want to, again, be married, even though the last one didn't work out. And that's the other thing that we say we should be grateful for. We don't believe that, you know, it's for life. That, you know, if it's not Allah don't want any of us to be in no oppressed or depressive,
yes,
situation. Allah said, perhaps I'll give you one better. So if we didn't did all we can do to keep the marriage there and it just not work, we leave on equitable terms. We still be cordial, we still be nice to each other, but you just wasn't right for me, and we move on. But we shouldn't have that attitude because something didn't work, that I don't ever want to do that again. Like I said about food, we never say that about food, and I'm sure all of us have had a bad experience with food, but we know we need to eat. And when we really understand, we'll know, just like we have to still eat physical food. Allah says that, don't, when he says, eat of the good things of the earth, that's not just talking about a physical food. Everything
that's
is good for the human being, Allah says, you get that. You don't deny, you don't tell yourself during Ramadan, when the Maghrib come in and you say, well, I want to go some more. Man, that fasting was good. I want to keep going. No. Allah says that you stop after the Maghrib come in. Or Ramadan is over, 29 to 30 days. You don't say, well, I want to go and make, you know, some additional days, unless you got to make some days up after you have the prayer, you know. So we got to obey Allah. Allah says this is what we should do, and we shouldn't. The things that Allah has made good for us, we shouldn't deny ourselves of that. We are not monks. You know, that's not how we cut. We are spiritual, and we are also social creatures. You know, and we both, and we can't have both without marriage.
Yes, very well said, Brother Imam. And you know, just one thing that to add to that, in the very Sahih Hadith of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the prayers and peace be upon him, he said that those that don't desire to marry, they are not of my sunnah. So in other words, what is the prophet saying? This is my way. And of course, the sirah of the prophet, the life of the prophet, it actually verifies. It's an affirmation, a verification that was his sunnah. He modeled monogamy. He modeled polygyny. He modeled that. As Allah's messenger, sending a message, this is how you are to be in the marriage life. And took, I guess, about a few years ago, about 3.5 months, I went through all the marriages of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, starting with Lady Khadija for 25 years and about seven and a half years of modeling polygyny. And all. So this is something that is an ongoing topic and subject, but he said that those that don't marry and they don't have a desire, that was the key thing that you said, they may not have worked out for them at this particular point in time, but the desire, the fire of desire is still there. Want to be in accord with what Allah has established for us, and that knowing that Allah has made mates for us from among ourselves, that we may be able to dwell in tranquility, and that Allah is the one that puts the love and the mercy in our hearts. And verily in that are signs of messages for those who reflect on that. So in the closing statement, Imam Jihad Mu'min, as we wind down the MGM roundtable here, is that one of the first imams in terms of actually initiating the courtship and marriage and then family, whereas that we had that slated for last year, 2020, but just a week before, as the stipulations came down in the STL in terms of the COVID-19, we had to unfortunately had to cancel it for that time, and then seemed like things haven't gotten too much better because a lot of mandating is going on, and there's still a lot of fear mongering, as far as I'm concerned, in this country. Whereas a part of the country is moving forward, I know at least the sports world is almost like the multi-billionaires and multi-millionaires said, we'll play ball with you last year. But this year, they are moving on in terms of America, in terms of entertainment, sports entertainment, and all of that, the arenas, the football fields, basketball arenas, and all are filled up. I'm wondering, you know, what is our community waiting on in terms of beginning to reinstitute on our national calendar these annual events that are actually happening. And I can say here on IWDM Radio, I will be challenging our community in that regard. I'm thinking about putting an article in the Muslim Journal. Yes, the Muslim Journal, in regards, what is our community waiting on? We are to be a faith-based community, not a fear-based community. So, Brother Imam, I know that it's in your heart. I know it won't be 2022, but inshallah, that 2023, regardless of all these different strains and everything they're coming up with each and every day, that we'll look forward to having some type of courtship, marriage, and family conference. Imam Jihad Mukmin, your response to that and any closing remarks that you would like to leave with the radio listening audience.
Yes, sir, Mark. Yeah, you, again, that was another avenue that Allah inspired us with to put together, and it really went well. But like you said, the shaitan, when we get through with whether it's a physical human being who may be on the front, behind the scenes, we know it's all the works of the shaitan.
Yeah.
We are a community. We're talking about the sacred institution of marriage, which leads to a model married life, leads to model family life, which leads to model community life. It's all about community life. And so Allah says, in the smallest of his creatures, you will find communities just like yours. And so we are not creatures that's to be isolated, singled out. So that's connecting again with marriage. We shouldn't be in our homes by ourselves. We should have somebody there with us. They got the woman they just, here in St. Louis, she had, back in the 80s, at least 40 years she's been in prison. She had killed her baby. And so they are now seeing that that postpartum syndrome is real. You know, they didn't really understand it like this, but that's real, that this woman had this baby, and you consumed. I took her, my aunt and my sister, my home, praise be to Allah for my wife, until they did. And that's when you're a caretaker, and that can consume you, like I was saying to at the wonderful Talim that Rashid gave, is that on his board, that we didn't have self up there. The human being needs time for self, but also you need somebody to be there with you. We're not made to be here. So it is with this virus thing, like you were saying, Mark, it's keeping us, further keeping us, instead of coming together, it's keeping us apart. So, you know, we're gonna stay on lives with us as long as we try to do what's right, and what we're trying to establish with that is trying to bring people together, you know, in different ways and avenues. Bring the people together, educate the people. Like your brother said, the education. When you educate and you know better, you'll do better. And we start looking for husbands and wives. We start building community life. If not, I'm going to leave us with this. Allah talks about the people who will bury their
female children alive. These people didn't have enough common sense to realize if they continue to do that, then they were actually burying the whole people. The whole people was being buried. The woman, you, the whole people. If we're not getting married, we don't have this sacred institution of marriage on the front of our agenda, then we are burying our community alive because we are having more janazas than we are nikah. So that's a, you don't have to be a mathematician to figure out that at some point, you don't keep putting money in the bank, you're going to run out of money. You ain't going to be able to get no money out of the bank. So if we don't have this to be equal, you know, and the way we got to do that is we got to all take a, you know, come together, find ways to come together, get this virus stuff over, travel to other cities and just, you know, find you somebody.
That's right. Hey, Mark, can I make a comment before you go?
Yes, sir.
I just want to say this, you know, in the Dawah efforts that we're going to have to do, 50% of the African-American men in this country are not married. 48% of the women who are not married. And 38% of the black men have children by more than one woman. This is a problem. This is true.
Whoa.
So the Dawah efforts, the Dawah efforts we're going to have to do, we only represent 12% of the population in this country. And here we got 50% of that men who are not married and 48% of the women who are not married. It's amazing. Then you have 38% of black men who have children by more than one person. So I would leave you with that, and I just wanted to say
that. Well, you know, that's some interesting statistics. And, you know, Imam Jihad Mukman, we're just scratching the surface because I didn't get to, you know, another statement, I think, profound statement that, you know, just the mentality in terms of women that you stated in the khutbah, we'll address it the next time, that I don't need a man for anything, and I think I'm a little bit older and go back a little bit further. They used to say, I don't need a man for just for one thing. But see, all of this, the shaitan actually is a social manipulator, and he begins to manipulate the mind, the thinking, the spirit, the attitude, the disposition of people so that they reduce the sacred institution of marriage, they denigrate it. In regards to it not being a benefit. So maybe that'll be the topic the next time that I have you on the MGM Roundtable. I want to thank you so much for honoring my request, and I know I appreciate the excellent commentary that you made on this topic, Khutbah, because this is not something that we're getting across the country. You know, in lieu of the fact that as learned imams, as learned people in this community, we don't refute nor do we dispute that the Prophet Muhammad has said that marriage is one half of our deen. We should be getting more khutbahs pertaining to marriage and family life in our community. And so if we are ever going to eradicate all the ills in society, the things that we detest in society, the teaching part of it, the educational part of it, as Dr. Jamal Rashid has said, it has to accompany the modeling of that. And as Rashid has given us some startling statistics, then we can begin to reverse these statistics that we got. And we have to take the lead. We're going to have to be the one, like Bilal ibn Rabah, is calling the people back to prayer, calling the people to worship, calling the people to servitude of the one God, and being conscious and regardful of God's word to us and conforming our will to what God's will is for us so that we can live our life the way that Almighty God wants us in following his messenger, the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then we will see how the society, the community, the family life, and the marriage life can and will work in accordance with God's will and plan. Thank you so much, Imam Jihad Mukman. I've enjoyed it immensely, and you have an open-door policy here on the MGM Roundtable. I look forward to getting you back, and then we're going to talk and dive a little bit more into that in terms of what is it is seen in terms of the independence or liberation, and is it true liberation? Who really has liberated the woman and the African American woman? So thank you so much, and may Allah continue to bless you. Assalamu alaikum. So, Alhamdulillah, there you have it, concluding the MGM Roundtable, our very distinguished and esteemed guest, Imam Jihad Mukman, who is the resident Imam of Al-Mu'minun Islamic Center in the STL. That's the gateway city of St. Louis, and the Show Me State of Missouri. That's where I and Rashid, we reside there. And to have that khutbah was a very timely khutbah indeed, and I pray Allah that we get many, many more, not only in St. Louis, but we get it all across the country, inshallah, God willing. Want to just say, before we close out, that we ask that you do tune back into IWDN Radio for other programming. As I stated earlier, that tomorrow here on IWDM, it will be the Sister Learning Lab, that is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, with Quran Shakir. From the Jewel of the South, the ATL there in Atlanta, Georgia, will be joining me, yours truly, Mark Shaheed, on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. That learning lab will start at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And we'll still be on the text publication, Muslim Marriage Makeover, Modeling Muhammad the Prophet and Making Waves in Your Marriage with a Ripple Effect, as a unique publication. And we'll be on the second P, as we had a very distinguished scholarly imam, Imam Fahim Shuaib, joined us last week, and he gave insight in terms of partnership. So we will continue on that path, and we'll be on the second P, which represents peace. And after we finish that, then we have two letters left in the acronym of RIPPLE, which will be love, and I'm quite sure that's going to be an attractive topic for many of you, and also equality. And so for each one of these principles that she's calling them, we will have Imam Fahim Shoaib to come back and to offer his insight and his commentary on these principles, how you would have a Muslim marriage makeover. So you don't want to miss that. Don't come by yourself. Make sure you invite a family member, a friend, associate, a neighbor, a community member to the learning lab. And then Friday, it is Salatul Jumu'ah Day here on IWDM Radio. And those of you who are immobilized can't get out to your local masajids and Islamic centers, you can come back to IWDM Radio. And that begins 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, and it's 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here with Imam Michael Mikhail Sayer, longtime resident Imam of Al-Nur Islamic Center there in Indianapolis, Indiana. So please tune in for Salatul Jumu'ah here on IWDM Radio. And also the longest-running production here on IWDM Radio, our very distinguished and esteemed host of Words Make People. That begins every Sunday afternoon. It starts at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central Standard Time and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio, as Imam Michael Sayer always have very intriguing guests and always topics that are very pertinent to us as a community, so you don't want to miss that production here on IWDM Radio. And our newest addition, but no exception to the rule, in terms of the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab, that's hosted by Rashid Salam and also Imam Dr. Abdul Shaheed. Oh, boy, you don't want to miss this learning lab. I advise you to bring your pen and pad, be ready to take notes, as they talk about the science of your health and the science of you. How many people really know that? And they teach you in terms of centometry, a lot of beneficial information. I love it. I advise you to tune in, to listen in. I guarantee you, you're going to walk away with a lot of gold nuggets. And if you implement those things in your life, you're going to have better health. And they just begin to just touch the surface, scratch the surface, if you will. You want to tune in. And that begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 6 p.m. in the Central Standard Time Zone, 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, every Tuesday right here on IWDM. That's the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab, hosted by Rashid Salam and Imam Dr. Abdul Shaheed. And also, we want to say that please tune in each and every Wednesday for the Sister Learning Lab, to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. That is the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean and yours truly, Mark Shaheed. And that starts 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, followed by the MGM Roundtable. That is the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, as I always like to present to you very distinguished, esteemed guests inside of our community, outside of our community, and topics that are pertinent to a community. That is 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. We're going to have we look to have a very special guest, surprise guest, come next Wednesday. So we ask that you stay tuned to IWDM Radio. Want to also invite you to tune in to Study Al-Islam with our sister Fitra Muhammad. She always has some of the most outstanding intellect that some of our scholarly learned sisters and imams in our community, as they take on life topics, topics that have been given to them that of interest to our community. And I tell you, some outstanding presentations have been made. I heard my beloved sister and friend Anissa Dawan give an outstanding presentation. So you can get that. They have a new number now. And that new number is, 717-908-1837. That's 717-908-1837. You dial that number, and the access code is still the same. It is 684012#, 684012#. And if you should happen to miss it, you can get the most recent presentation and presenter that made the presentation for the whole week until the next one. And if you tune in, that's every Sunday morning. If you're in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, it'll be 10 a.m. for you. Those that live in the Central Standard Time Zone, it's 9 a.m. for you. If you live on the West Coast, it is 7 a.m. Pacific Coast Time for Study Al-Islam. Also, we want to remind you to support the Muslim Journal. Our beloved sister, Professor Aisha K. Mustafa, as the fundraiser, national fundraisers they have come. This is the only major fundraiser at the Muslim Journal. It is struggling. I'm asking you to make sure that you help, that you register, that you do you sponsor someone, that you send in a donation from your masajids, Islamic centers, and all. Let's support the Muslim Journal this year, 2021. It is going to be a virtual It's going to be a virtual time to be grateful there by the Atlanta Masjid there in Atlanta, Georgia. So we ask that you do get registered. If you can't register, please sponsor someone. Please send in money to help in there. So because Al-Mamnoon here in St. Louis, we're looking forward to having that and supporting that financially here. And we are asking, I am asking others that are listening, you understand, to make that appeal to your community to support the Time to Be Grateful 2021. And I think that's about it, you know, for tonight. And so I want a special thanks to our special guest, Imam Jihad Mukman, for joining us. I want to thank Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean. I want to thank our radio listening audience for listening and tuning in. I want to send a special thanks to those who actually called in and asked questions as participants. And a special thanks go to our outstanding engineer. That's Rashid Salam, always the constant professional here on IWDM Radio for engineering this program. So until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
That's all, folks.